Kadyayani Brat, we're continuing to read chapter 12 from Ananda Vrindavan Champu. And Krishna has, it's the last day of their vow. Krishna has come there, he's called them outside of the water. This is how he replied to them. Sri Krishna, the supreme relisher of Ras, looked at the young girls with astonishment and cleverness. Being overpowered by shyness, they hid behind each other while trying to cover their private parts from Krishna's curious gaze. To those qualified gopis whose hearts burned with an intense desire to serve him, Krishna said, "O Sakis, why are you afraid of me? You are standing there in a confused state, as if you are not the least bit attracted to me. How is it possible to cover yourselves? Sitting in the limbs of this tall tree, I can easily see you. On the pretext of morality, you are trying to cheat me. Now stand in a straight line, come before me and exhibit your splendid beauty. By following my instructions, it will be very easy to get your clothes." Demanding. The Brajakumaris attentively listened to the pleasing words of Krishna. Overcome with feelings of love, respect, and hesitation, each of the gopis slowly moved toward their beloved Lord. Krishna relished the purity of their love while observing their state of embarrassment. Putting their clothes on his shoulder, Krishna smiled as he drank the nectar from their sweet, loving faces. In an affectionate voice, Krishna said, "It is very inauspicious to stand here with your hair hanging loose and disheveled." It's hanging there. They just got out of the Yamuna. "It's especially offensive for one performing a brat. What to speak of a person observing a brat? Even ordinary person keeps his hair tied. Oh, beautiful young girls, even the celestial nymphs lose their beauty if they let their hair down. By this act, you have spoiled your beauty. Oh, girls whose sweet faces conquer the moon, you should tie your hair up in a braid." Because to do that, they have to use both their arms. Right? So he's very clever. He said, "Oh, your hair is loose and hanging down, covering your breasts, and your hands are covering their lower part. So I think you should..." So I guess he solved two things with one. He says, "You should make a braid. To make a braid, you have to take your two hands, then you have to pull all your loose hair behind your head, then you have to break it into three pieces, then, you know, or bring it around front and make a braid. So Krishna's gave a very clever trick here, try to checkmate the gopis. "So you made a big offense, so now you have to put your hair in a braid." So now they had to lift up their hands like this. Upon hearing Krishna's clever, pleasing words, the gopis lost all apprehension. Overwhelmed with prema, they slowly rose out of the water. Their golden thighs radiated a special type of elegance. The ankle bells on their pink lotus feet resounded like an army of quarreling ducks. As the young girls stood before Krishna, they pleased him with the fickle sound of their bangles. Their hair stood on end as the gopis relished the moment with nervous laughter. The young gopis looked very beautiful, with their slightly blossoming golden breasts. Desiring to please the Lord, they tied up their hair in artistic ways. And though satisfied, Krishna spoke as follows, "Oh, girls, it's not right to stand before someone in respect. Even if you see me as an ordinary person, it's not right for you to stand before me. Therefore, come here and obey me by sitting on this pure seat." For each of the gopis, these words flowed like nectar from the moon of Krishna's mouth. They felt relieved, but due to fear, they could not decide between right and wrong. The gopis crossed their legs and placed their hands over their private parts. With their breasts hanging down slightly as they leaned forward, the gopis looked like golden forest creepers laden with heavy, jewel-like fruits. The desire for conjugal love captured Krishna's mind. Smiling, he spoke pleasantly, "Oh, young ladies, this is not the proper conduct of righteous people. A person doing a brat should never bathe naked in the river. By doing so, you have offended Yamuna Devi, the presiding deity of the river. And by playing in the water while looking at the bank, you have also offended the devatas. Although you have obstructed my desires, your offense can be mitigated because you acted in ignorance. If you really want to achieve the results of your brat, then you must atone for your offenses by following my advice. Seriously considering Krishna's proposal, the doe-eyed gopis thought, we should do whatever the opposition suggests, but we cannot guess what he will say next. And if we do not comply, the results of our brat will be destroyed. So what can we do? While thinking thus, the gopis spoke among themselves. One gopi said, we're afraid and doubtful about following Krishna's advice. Though filled with great joy and fervor, the grip of timidity made the gopis apprehensive. Understanding their fatigue and mental condition and seeing them losing their natural color, Krishna said, O young girls, your glances fly hither and thither like the fearful eyes of a chakora. Why are you raising such harsh arguments? Please hear my words that can remove all the offenses made during your brat. Can one quench his thirst without water? Without evening, summer gives no relief. Therefore, you should follow my order. You can wipe away all your sins just by offering your respects to me. If you do it with great faith and devotion, you'll receive the desired result in many ways. Oh, beautiful young girls, to counteract your offenses, you should stand before me with straightened legs and offer obeisances while placing your joined palms above your heads. Casting aside their shyness, the gopis obeyed the words of their dearmost lover. With half-closed eyes, they joined their palms above their heads and offered respects to Krishna, who made them act just like toy dolls. The gopis pacified Krishna by standing humbly before him with their heads hanging down. As Krishna's prema-filled heart melted, a nectarine smile perfumed his lips. Glancing wantonly at the young girls, Krishna revealed his desires by saying, you have greatly pleased me, and I feel the utmost limit of love for you. Dress yourself in your clothes, which are redder than pomegranate flowers. Now you may drown in the ocean of ecstasy according to your individual tastes of love. After saying this, Krishna extended his hand to give each gopi her respective clothes. The good fortune of the Braja Kumaris far surpassed that of Lakshmi Devi. Holding their shimmering dresses in their hands, the gopis looked like clusters of golden lotuses bedecked with flags. They appeared very beautiful and ready for the play of love. Then they carefully put on their clothes that were nicely scented from the touch of Krishna's lotus hands. Glancing shyly at Krishna, their golden lotus faces bloomed with beauty. Their bodies trembled pleasurably from the excitement of finally achieving Krishna's association. Tasting the topmost happiness, the gopis stood there steeped in affection. Even without touching Krishna, they felt his powerful embrace. Abandoning his gravity, the young prince of Braj spoke compassionately to the gopis. I knew everything before the desire tree of your determination sprouted in your hearts. I have performed this astonishing pastime just to increase your love. By ordering you harshly, I tested the purity of your love. Attracted to me, you submissively obeyed my beneficial orders and therefore I have manifested eternal love within your hearts. That's what happens. It happens. Krishna's love manifests in our hearts. This is siddhi. This is rati, then bhav. Bhav and prema are this two chambers of the same house. Love, prema. I manifest in your heart. Because of all their tolerance and all their submission, their tolerance, their pain that they undertook, and austerity and determination, never wavered nor diminished. They passed the test. I tested the purity of your love. By ordering you harshly, by treating you harshly, by dealing with you seemingly in an unfair way, sometimes people criticize Bhagavan. Oh, why do bad things happen to good people? God has wound up the clock of the universe and left it ticking on its own. He's not doing anything to maintain the clock. Now it's gone haywire. And all good people, bad things happen to them. That's some outlook is there. But actually everything is a test from Krishna. He always every devotee must pass the test. This concept is there in every religion. The acid test, the leap of faith, the test, the Christians, the Jews, the Muslims, everyone, they have this concept of your faith will be tested. Your faith in God, Bhagavan, Shraddha. And then the depth of your love, or the depth of your sincerity of purpose and sincerity of devotion will be tested also. We don't like testing. And we go to school and we have so many tests. But in the school of love, Krishna, he's a teacher in the school of love, he and Radharani. So they will test the purity of our love. And then, if he submissively obeyed my beneficial orders. So the gopis got beneficial orders from Krishna. So how do we get beneficial orders from Krishna? Through the words of Guru, the words of Krishna come, but even Krishna spoke beneficial words to the gopis. So he also spoke beneficial words to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, and Uddhava Gita, 11th canto. So those words to Arjuna and those words to Uddhava are also for us. So Krishna's beneficial words are also available to all of us, and Gita and Bhagavatam. So we have a chance. Okay, these are the beneficial orders of Krishna. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji manvas. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, preach about me. Embellish my glories with devotees. Machita makata prana bodhyantas prasparam kata yantas chamam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. So relish the topics. Like the other day, one friend of ours came, Russian brahmacharian. There's some small talk about he went somewhere for some health care. His guru ordered him to go to some Ayurvedic place to improve his health. So he did. And he was just telling, and I said, anything else? He said, no. I said, let's have a kirtan. So I got the mridanga, and he played kartals, and we had a kirtan. I said, let's have a class. So I turned on the tape recorder, and we had a class. And that's Machita Makata Pranas for a couple hours. Then he went, and I went. That's how devotees, that's how they pass their time. Tushyanti cha, ramanti cha. Very nice. So this is a simple formula, Shravanam Kirtan Vishnu Smaranam. Gather together, hear about the Lord and his devotees, and pray and get sanskaras coming in the mind and heart, increasing our attachment, increasing our conviction, increasing our faith. And as the tests come our way, one by one, gradually we'll make the right choices. Every test is simply a series of choices. To make the right choices, you get the good grade. So the choices that you make on the test depend on how much you've studied and prepared yourself with all the options and possibilities of questions and choices they may ask. So the devotee has to face many tests. So he has to be prepared. A deep, intense dainya bhav, intense humility, and intense sharanagata bhav. That feeling of dependence and surrender, moment to moment. Hey Bhagavan, Govinda Damodara Madhav Iti, oh Govinda Damodara Madhav. I'm throwing my arms up in the air. Mama Nivedana Shuno, I'm a wicked materialist, oh Gopinath. Please save me. And then if we pass all the tests, then what happens? What manifests? It's like if you pass all the tests, what manifests in your life? A degree. You get a piece of paper, it manifests. Graduate of so-and-so, useless university. So-and-so, you, useless. And then, so the gopis, they pass the tests, and what happened? They got something. They got Krishna manifested his eternal love within their hearts. So that's, the love is eternal. It's coming from Nityadam, this Premadam, Goloka Premadam. That eternal abode of love, Brajagokul, then that love has to descend from there to here. As much as one can gain in the material world by his own efforts is Brahmanand. That's all within the coverings of this universe. This universe is surrounded beyond all the coverings of the Jyoti of the Lord. That vast area, Ramajyoti. So that's Brahmanand. So one can climb up there, Roa Panta, by his own tapa and austerity and various Vedic formulas, you can actually attain that nature, Brahman, Aham Brahmasmi. But that Premananda and that bliss of love and ecstasy of love and ras is not a product of one's own endeavor, nor is it something that's from this Lokic Dham or material realm. It's way beyond it. Its origin is way beyond the Ramajyoti, way far beyond. Beyond all the creation, beyond all the conceptions. Beyond conception, beyond creation, beyond the Brahman, is Bhagavan, Sri Krishna. All his variety and all his leelas and rasas and love and bhava and prema. It has to come over here and manifest in the heart. Then we can experience that. Become qualified to go to that Premadam, Vrindavan, and accept it over there. So Krishna's replying to these Kanyakumaris. Your desire is pure, eternally existing and laden with rasa. I reciprocate differently with people in the mundane world. If a pure-hearted person displays such intense desires, I will transform them into those desires in the prema. Then he will taste the blissful nectar derived from experiencing my qualities. This well of nectar exists independently of any other type of rasas. Even Lakshmi Devi hankers for the love that you have so clearly displayed. Just as rice paddy that is boiled in water or fried and fire can never show the qualities of the seed. Similarly, the lusty desires of the common people can never sprout in the ocean of such supreme rasa. So one immerses his consciousness in this rasa. Gopi Bhava Rasamritam Tilahari Kalola Magnamohar. Six Goswamis. Gopi Bhava Rasamritam Tilahari Kalola Magnamohar. They were just submerged and rising and falling on the waves of that ocean. The Gopi's Bhav. There's no. And that ocean acts like a. Although it's an ocean, but it acts like a fire to roast all the seeds of material desire. They become impotent and incapable of producing any result or any effect. They disappear, basically. After hearing Krishna speak, the thoughtful girls appear beautified with the sweet fragrance of the vine of fickleness. Accepting the words of their dearmost as truth, the gopis experience both immeasurable joy and agitation due to their intense longing for Krishna. Then the gopis cried tears of happiness that seemed like the fluid dripping from the ears of lust-crazed elephant. Without responding to Krishna, the gopis just stood for some time with a disturbed look in their eyes. Now that their brat was finished, the gopis felt surcharged with love and incredible bliss. They murmured among themselves with voices as sweet as cooing birds. Krishna continued, "Now you can all return to Vrindavan. Soon we will enjoy together during a festive night. You have attained eternal perfection, so stop whispering like thirsty chatuki birds." With their sidelong glances and lips trembling in love, the gopis appeared to be covering Krishna with a shower of blue lotus petals and newly unfurled leaves. Pacified and pleased, the gopis then returned to Vrindavan with great difficulty. So this is the closing scene of chapter 12. And Krishna said, "Well, I'll see you later." He says, "Well, we had a wonderful time together. And we both experienced the intense attraction and attachment we have for each other. And I've accepted your submission and your purity of your offering. And I will reciprocate fully as per your desire within a few months' time at Rasa Purnima." That's how it ends. Happy ending. Madam Samapayat. Very nice scene, very touching scene. If this were a movie, it would be very touching. The whole idea of the anticipation, that the suspense of the future and the anticipation of further meetings and further reciprocations with the Divine Lord of Loving Play. That's how it ends. It's Krishna's there, and they're there, and they don't want to go anywhere else in the universe. Just stay there forever with Krishna. They're murmuring among themselves, and they were surcharged with love and incredible bliss. And Krishna said, "Okay, now go back to Vrindavan. Go back home now. Don't worry. Soon we will enjoy." Well, that soon, now it's December. And then it was December to January, and February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September. He said, "We will enjoy together during a festive night." But that was five. It wasn't until 9 months later on Maharasa Dance. Rasa Purnima, Sharad Purnima, 9 months later. So he was speaking as if it would be a few days, two or three days. "A couple of days from now we'll enjoy." Okay, fine. But 9 long months, and what is the experience of time when someone is in Purva Rag or intense loving attachment for Krishna? Then time is excruciatingly painful. The elapse of time is like 1 million years. Radharani cried out in that mood of intense separation, appreciating the value and extreme rarity of each moment in association with Krishna. So she cried out in that mood of lamentation, "Yugayatam Nameshena Chakshusha Pravashayatam Shinyayatam Jagatsavam Govinda Virahename." "Oh Govinda, I can't bear it. Another minute, another second. I can't see you, I can't hear you, I can't feel you. How can I go on?" Well, they met Krishna in such a confidential way, in such an intimate way, the complete fulfillment of their sankalpa and their brat, their kartik brat. This was not kartik, this is kadyani brat. To attain Krishna, now they did, and this is perfection, prayojan. There's nothing higher, nothing greater. This is the sadhya, the perfection of all sadhana. They were sadhana siddha gopis. They went over 2 million years. They were endeavoring for this moment and praying and doing tapasya and meditating on this moment when Krishna would accept them, the acceptance, the moment of acceptance, the moment of truth, the final time when one is accepted in the Lord's entourage and accepted personally by the Lord. That is the perfection of the jiva's sojourn through millions of years and thousands of bodies and species of life. So now they start all, the whole journey home, as they say, began in Treta Yuga in a forest in South India called Dandaka. Dandaka Aranya. Aranya is the name. Forest. Dandaka Forest. Dandaka Aranya. 2 million years ago, their journey back to Vrindavan, back home, back to Vrindavan, I left my heart in Vrindavan, started with seeing Lord Ramachandra. And these Dandakaranya Rishi Muni sages, they were devotees in Vatsalya Bhav. At least they thought they were worshippers of Gopal. And when they saw the personification of Gopal right sakshat before their eyes in Treta Yuga as Ramachandra, the avatar for the age, then they became amazed. They said, oh, I feel so handsome, so beautiful. He has one Sita, but we'd also like to be Sita. We would like to be his wedded consort and intimately and humbly serve him at every moment. So then Ram said, Bhavatu, Tatastu. And then they became gopis, born from the wombs of Gopa and Barsana and Bhoma Vrindavan. And then they grow up and they just, now they're not so grown up, they're only 6 years old. But they're developed fully by the influence of Yoga Maya. Pretty much grown up in that way also. And they want Krishna as their husband. So they worship Katyayani, Yoga Maya, to arrange that. And she did. Now they've been accepted. Now they're successful. This is the sadhya and the priyojana and the goal of all their endeavor. Their siddhis, premis. And Krishna says, oh, okay, see you later. Come back. I'll see you in 9 months. Oh, again, thrown back into the ocean of purvarag and separation. Now they met. So again, it's not exactly purvarag. But they haven't enjoyed, so it is purvarag. They've enjoyed, but they haven't enjoyed. And they met, and they haven't met. So again, but it's an incredible purvarag with a touch of sambhog. So this is a very special lila. So many nice points here about being accepted by the Lord and being tested by the Lord, and following, be a submissive follower of the Lord's orders and His commands. Guru Vakya, what is it? Guru Shastra Vakya. One should follow the Guru and the Shastra. The Shastra is the words of Krishna. So this point is also being made here. About that, the gopis, Krishna recognized and he reciprocated with the gopis because they actually were submissive. They followed his order. So this is how he gained the favor of the Lord. I gained the favor of the Lord by being submissive and following his order. Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, he says, touch Srinu. Just hear me, Arjuna. Why you just listen to what I'm saying, deeply ponder over it, and respond accordingly. Krishna, he is autocrat. He is Swatantra. Bhagavan is Swatantra. He's completely independent. And he's the abode of free will, whatever he wants to do. So now we see this example. These are called the sadhana siddha gopis. They did sadhana. They were jivas like us. They did sadhana. They got a gopi sarup. So city, they did more austerity, devotional austerity. They pleased Krishna. Yoga maya. Then he came there and then accepted them, accepted their hearts, accepted everything, and gave them fulfillment. Then he said, okay, now wait. So it's free will. Think, okay, we've done everything, you accept us, so now let's be husband and wife or have a relationship. No, that's okay, I'll see a little bit. So it's hard to understand how the Lord operates. It's difficult sometimes. Chintya Shakti of the Lord, the inconceivable potency of the Lord is always at work, at play in his various exchanges with his devotees, so it becomes a little perplexing for devotees that are sadhakas approaching the Lord. Well, how is he going to play with me, or how is he going to reciprocate with me or deal with me? And he appears for a moment and then disappears forever. In Narada Muni's case, he was so intensely surrendered and engaged. Once Lord Narayan appeared to Narad when he's a young boy, and he said, "Listen, you're hearing me speak once, I'm appearing to you, but you'll not see me or hear me again." A momentary darshan, and then at the end of life, he, of course, again remembered the Lord and got perfection, liberated. He attained the mercy of the Lord and the mercy of all the sages, so he attained bhava and perfection by Kripa Siddha Narada Muni. The Lord coming for the gopis and disappearing. Okay. You go back to Vrindavan. We'll get together again sometime in the future. So everyone will go through the sequence of being tested. Accept the orders of the Lord. Surrender to those orders. Submissively try to execute them. And every time we get orders and commands and requests from the Lord and direction, indications from the Lord, these are all types of tests. So if we follow them and surrender and submit and accept them, then we pass those tests one by one. Then Krishna becomes very pleased. And then he'll manifest eternal love within our hearts, as he did for the gopis. And whatever desire we may have this remaining, he'll transform it, as he says. He said, "Your desire is pure. And I will transfer whatever desires you have, I'll transfer it all into prema, into love, prema seva. And then you will taste blissful nectar by experiencing me. Then you'll experience bhakti ras. When Krishna manifests love in our heart, then we have the opportunity to experience bhakti ras." All these points are being said here. This well of nectar exists independently of any other types of tastes or experiences or flavors or rasas. Even Lakshmi endeavors for that braja ras, that braja bhakti ras. But she didn't follow gopis. She didn't become Gopi Anugata. She didn't follow Brindadevi, Lita Sakhi, Rupa Manjari. Is that aham Lakshmi? So these are nice points. Hare Krishna.